It's great to be here and to be able to speak. And while there may be a few people here, I'm actually quite used to talking to no one, if that makes sense. Standing in front of a camera, or Sally and myself do it, of course, with our Be Healthy Church. So it's not uncommon for us to sit in front of a camera and just chat. But as I come to share this week, before I do, I just want... I'm not someone who is into Handel's music. I don't say I know it, but I was up looking for stuff about the Messiah, and I clicked on this link, and it was almost as if the Holy Spirit came and filled my study. And I just thought, I just want to play it to start with. And I just want you to imagine that God is with you right now, because he is. And I just want you to welcome the Holy Spirit. And I just want you to grab a hold and listen listen to this bit of music. Say about that? It's just an amazing, amazing bit of music, and then the technology involved in putting that together. But of course, God doesn't need technology to come in and touch each one of our lives. He does it all the time. And he's waiting so often for us just to ask. And I was praying about, because many of you may or may not know that I actually work on in many dairy farms in the week. And I go around, apart from fixing milking parlors, I test them and do things like that. And I was asking the Lord for inspiration one day. And as I did, I walked across to some cows. And you won't believe what I saw in the ear of this cow. I had to go up and have a look a little bit closer. Because this cow's name was Messiah. Yeah. And I had to look closely at the ear tag because it also said March 18. And I thought, am I speaking on the 18th of March? There's so much you can do, Lord, but I like signs. But how do you include a cow in a talk? Perhaps it's for the farmers that are watching today that says that actually God does speak to his people. And Messiah comes from the Hebrew word, meaning the anointed one, the chosen one. And I want to challenge us here and those watching today. Do you feel as if you're an anointed one or a chosen one. See, for Jews, the Messiah, the King of the Jews, will be sent to them by God. For Christians, the Messiah is Jesus Christ. If you refer to someone as the Messiah, you're expecting them to do pretty wonderful things, pretty amazing things. In fact, to rescue people from a difficult and dangerous situation. Some people will see the vaccine as a Messiah. People saw Mandela as their Messiah. When Andrew, a disciple of John the Baptist, became known with Jesus, the first thing he did was to find his brother, Simon Peter, and tell him about his exciting discovery. He told his brother, "We have found the Messiah," which translated is the Christ. And he brought his brother Peter to him. What did Andrew mean when he said, "We have found the Messiah"? When Jesus came to earth to live with us as our Savior, the Jewish people were looking for God to send the Messiah, an anointed and a chosen one. They'd read the Old Testament prophecies. Isaiah 42:1 and 61:3-1, Psalm 16:22. You can look all these up later. The promise that God would send a deliverer to his people. But unfortunately, they misunderstood what this Messiah was going to do. Now the Gospels declare, the one chosen by God and anointed by him to save his people from their sins. After Jesus' resurrection, the Apostle Peter reminded those listening to him how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went out doing good and healing all who were oppressed with the devil, for God was with him. And we, Peter said, are witnesses of all these things. And later on, right at the end of my little message this morning, I'm going to go to the woman at the well, which was spoken about last week so well. But I didn't mean that pun. And where she said, "I know the Messiah is coming. I know." And Jesus replied, "I who speak to you am he." Now, while we know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Jews are still waiting for him to appear, which I find sad. And I looked up Messiah in the Bible, and it was a bit confusing, to say the least, because in the Amplified Bible, there was 168 references of the Messiah. In the American Standard, which I use quite often, is two references, and King James had four, and the New International had 74 versions of the Messiah, which is quite interesting, isn't it? Because people say, well, the Bible is all truth. Well, of course it is, but it's just how they translate Christ and the Messiah. They can be interchanged. You are the Christ. I want to tell you the time that I really realized that Jesus was the Christ. And that was in my own coming to know Jesus. I said a prayer in my bed going to sleep at 10 o'clock at night. "Jesus, if you are real, come into my life." A simple prayer. "If" was questioning. And I fell asleep. It was the next morning when I woke up that I went out. I was a farmer. I went out on the farm, and the workman, Pip, I think he was called. Well, I know he was called. He hit his hand with a thumb with a hammer. And he said the words that I'll never forget. He went, "Oh, Jesus Christ." And all of a sudden, it was as if someone had stuck a dagger in my heart, because I knew at that moment that Jesus was the Messiah. I knew at that moment that something had changed in my life. Jesus, by the power of his Holy Spirit, had come to live inside of me. And from that day on, I was a different person. I was a new creation. And the challenge comes to me as we call it, who do you say I am? Is the hope that I have in what to come, is the hope that I can live for him today, and that I can not only talk the talk, but I can walk the walk. I wrote a book called Nothing But the Truth. And when you write something or you speak in front of an audience of one or many, you have to live the life that you say you're going to live. Now, that's not always easy. I go around on farms, and sometimes the language can be colorful. Well, actually, it's multicolorful. But I'm there to show love, grace, and mercy. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says this, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Now, how do we do this in 2021? How do we imitate Christ where we are? How do we reveal the Christ in me? How do you do it? You see, so many people can say they're a Christian. And I see people, and as I've been a pastor of churches in the past, and I hear them, and they get up and they say their hallelujah and their amen, and they say their prayers, and I think they're fantastic. And then I see a comment that they put on Facebook, and I go, please don't do that. Because the world is watching us all the time. We are being judged. We are either good or bad, but we are witnesses to Jesus. And I guarantee, I only have to say one wrong thing and everyone, I thought you were a Christian. They're listening all the time. And we have to reflect the Jesus in me. Because he is. He is in me by his Holy Spirit. When I asked him to come into my life, he did. And I want to give a little bit of shocking news to some people. Jesus is supernatural. So that means he does supernatural things, things that we don't understand always with our mind. Hence, I've been in a milking parlor, and this might shock you, there's people that have to pay for my services, but I've been there and not know what to do. And I've prayed, and God has showed me. He gets a commission as well, but that's by the by. I've learned it's best to honor him with your finances. So I want to ask you today, are you an anointed one? In 1 Corinthians 8:6, it says this, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, who is the source of all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things that have been created, and we believe exist and have life and have been redeemed through him. Knowing that Jesus lives in us and that we are filled with the Holy Spirit if we ask for it, because we do need to invite the Holy Spirit to come in daily to fill us up, because, well, I don't know about you guys, but I leak. And I need refreshing, and I need refilling. And I need something like the Handel's Messiah to play, and I can stretch up my arms in my office or wherever I happen to be. Sometimes it's even in a milking parlor. I've had people come in to hear me singing in a milking parlor and think, are you okay, John? Yeah, I'm fine. Sometimes when you're working with this stuff, you need to sing. We need to remind ourselves, perhaps go down to Philippians 3:14. I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. You see, I don't know about you, but I am anointed. I can remember someone coming to me one day. They had a problem with an evil spirit in their house. And they couldn't sleep. And they said they dreams, and in fact, it was a non-believing husband that brought the wife to us. And she said she was having nightmares, and I won't go into the details, but it was pretty horrific. And he said, can you come to our house and do something about it? And I said, yeah, no problem at all. We'll be there. I made a date to go there. One of the lovely brothers in the church said, John, you need to get an expert in. And I said, oh, right, okay. Well, why do I need an expert? And he said, well, John, you're taking on something pretty serious there. And I said, I'll tell you what, I am the expert. And so are you, if you believe in what God says. And we went into that house, and we actually took communion in many rooms of the house, and we prayed that anything unclean would leave the house, because God had anointed me with power to do what he called me to do. And the lady... And her husband, he couldn't believe it, I don't think, but she slept that night the first time for weeks, and they came back to me and said, what a difference the whole thing had made. But you see, we are anointed because we have accepted him, and my hope lives on daily because I put my faith into practice. And when you practice something, it grows. But it's only when you do it. Second Corinthians 1:21. Now it is God who establishes and confirms us in joint fellowship with you in Christ, and who has anointed us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What he has given to us isn't to put on the mantelpiece. It isn't to look at. It is to go and do and to be. 1 John 4:8 says, the one who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not know or even know him, for God is love. And that was the amazing thing. When I became a Christian, I started loving people. It was weird. I saw someone and I had a love for them. Sorry, I'm looking at the same guy there. He's getting worried. But you know what I mean. If Jesus has touched your heart, you have a love for people, even the people you don't like. Because it's God that's done it. Who do you say I am? You see, it's not by your mouth that speaks it out. Now I'm hitting the mic. It's not by your mouth, it's by your actions. It's how you reach out. Jesus didn't do this on the cross. He did that. And that's his arm stretched out for all who will come to him. Even the woman at the well. 5 broken relationships. Can you imagine what that woman had gone through? Ephesians 1:3-5 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place in Christ, even as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to be his own adopted children. There's hope in that, folks. By Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. Who do you say I am? Who do your actions? Who does my actions? And thank God that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for me when I mess up. And he's interceding for you when you mess up. But today you can come to him. And you can say, in the past I might have said this, I might have said that, I might have blasphemed, but today, Jesus, come into my life. Come into my life, fill me so that I know that Jesus is my Messiah. Jesus is the Christ, and he has come to live with me forever. The real love that shows me that he knows me. I love him. And so with all my life, I want to please him. We could run this modern woman at the well.
I am a woman of no distinction, of little importance. I am a woman of no reputation save that which is bad. You whisper as I pass by and cast judgmental glances, though you don't really take the time to look at me or even get to know me. For to be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And otherwise, what's the point in doing either one of them in the first place? I want to be known. I want someone to look at my face and not just see two eyes, a nose, a mouth, and two ears, but to see all that I am and could be, all my hopes, loves, and fears. That's too much to hope for, to wish for, or pray for, so I don't, not anymore. Now I keep to myself, and by that I mean the pain that keeps me in my own private jail, the pain that's brought me here at midday to this well. To ask for a drink is no big request, but to ask it of me, a woman unclean, ashamed, used and abused, an outcast, a failure, a disappointment, a sinner. No drink passing from these hands to your lips could ever be refreshing, only condemning, as I'm sure you condemn me now, but you don't. You're a man of no distinction, though of the utmost importance, a man with little reputation, at least so far. You whisper and tell me to my face what all those glances have been about, and you take the time to really look at me, but don't need to get to know me, for to be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And you know me, you actually know me, all of me and everything about me, every thought inside and hair on top of my head, every hurt stored up, every hope, every dread, my past and my future, all I am and could be. You tell me everything, you tell me about me. And that which is spoken by another would bring hate and condemnation. Coming from you brings love, grace, mercy, hope, and salvation. I've heard of one to come who would save a wretch like me. And here in my presence, you say, I am he. To be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And I just met you, but I love you. I don't know you, but I want to get to. Let me run back to town. This is way too much for just me. There are others, brothers, sisters, lovers, haters, the good and the bad, sinners and saints, who should hear what you've told me, who should see what you've shown me, who should taste what you gave me, who should feel how you forgave me. For to be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And they all need this too. We all do need it for our own.